You are listening to the She Runs the Show podcast with Cassandra Vaughn, episode 335, the solo series.
Are you ready to say goodbye to distraction, analysis paralysis, and shiny object syndrome and say hello to laser-focused, consistent, daily, massive action, DMA? If you said yes, check out my online course, the Daily Massive Action Masterclass. In this course, you will learn my daily massive action system that you can use to plan, prioritize, and take consistent daily massive action on your biggest life goals. If being consistent is something you struggle with, this course is definitely for you. Learn more by going to CassandraVaughn.com/DMA Masterclass. Again, learn more about the Daily Massive Action Masterclass by going to CassandraVaughn.com/DMA Masterclass. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of She Runs the Show. Cassandra with you here. Okay. Today is going to be a get it together talk for all of us listening, speaking, talking, sharing. Episode 335. And this is so timely as we move from 1 year, 2023 to 2024. And even if you're listening to this years from 2024, this is a conversation that I have with myself on a pretty regular basis. I think it was one of my favorite Peloton instructors, Robin Arzon, who talks about looking herself in the mirror and beating her chest to remember who the F she is. You know what I mean? And this is something I think we need to, as women, and I'm speaking specifically to women. If you're a man listening, thank you for listening. Happy to have you here. This conversation is really being focused on the women in the room, and take from it what you will. I think it's so important as women to get super clear on who the fuck you are. Super clear, to the point where you do not back down or apologize for being very direct about what you will and will not accept. So today's episode is called How to Let Go of Who You Will Never Be Again. Because I do think, especially as we come to the end of a year, our memories are interesting things because for most of us, we remember things, experiences, people, situations the way we want to remember them. And that's everybody. So there's no judgment or shame or blame in the fact that our memories are not always as accurate as we think they are because we remember what we want to remember. We typically remember things the way we want to remember them. And that in no way, shape, or form saying that negates things that have happened to you, trauma that has been done to you that is real. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about trauma. What I am saying is that oftentimes we will look back on a former version of ourselves and we will long for that former version because from where we stand right now, we think that former version, whether it's because of innocence or lack of experience or lack of trauma, had a simpler life, a better life, a different life. And so from where we stand today, we look back longingly at that version of ourselves and sort of wish like, can I bring some of that back? You will also hear a lot of people talk about, I want to get back to being that version of myself, some version in the past. Like, I was in my best shape then. I was in my, sometimes, especially going through this whole perimenopause thing, sometimes I say to myself, man, like, I remember being fit. And yes, it was a lot of work. And yes, it took a lot of work. But like, I did that thing. What I also remind myself of when I look back to that time when I was a personal trainer working out 2+ hours a day, 6 days a week, is I also, even though I was really fit, was exhausted all of the time. And I could not for the life of me in my late 20s figure out why I was tired all the time. Like literally, I was fit, I was toned, I was muscular, I was working out, I was eating my macros, I was doing great, and I was freaking exhausted all of the time. And I kept thinking, there must be something wrong with me, that I'm in seemingly great shape. And I am tired all of the time. And so when I think back to that season of my life, I have to remind myself that, yeah, that was great in one aspect, but let's not look at that thing in rose-tinted glasses. Like, let's look at the other side of that, which was you were working out 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. You were devoting 2 to 3 hours a day to workouts or meal prep, sometimes 6 hours to both. And you looked really good in clothes, but you were exhausted all of the time. I say all of that to say that if we want to become the best version of ourselves, whether it is a new month, a new day, a new week, a new year, a new moment, if we want to step into a new year and say, I truly believe that there is more for me. I truly believe that who I'm going to become in my 30s, in my 40s, in my 50s, in my 60s is far more than I've ever been before because I am bringing more of me to the table. I'm giving myself permission to be more of me. If you truly believe that, then one of the things you have to do to unlock and unleash a new version of you is you got to let go of the past versions of you that you will never be again. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. How do you let go of who you will never be again? Now, I want to start with a quote that I saw on Instagram today. And Viola Davis, who is an amazing actress, actually shared this from somebody on Instagram, Timothy Armu. Timothy Armu. And I love this quote series, and it so connects to what we're going to talk about today. So let me give you the full quote. And then I want to dive into the episode. So the quote says, "The price you pay for being easygoing is not getting what you want. Try and be a little unreasonable in 2024. Fight for the life you want." A silent form of self-sabotage, intensely focusing on other people, quit that in 2024. The level of confidence dictates the level of achievement. There will always be someone richer, better looking, funnier than you. Fun fact, you're that person for someone else. Run by your internal scorecard. Mediocre people who work loudly outperform great people who work quietly. Is it fair? No. Is it reality? Yes. Make 2024 the year you get louder. Everyone who started something had no clue how to do it at the beginning, but they figured it out by making mistakes. Make your number one trait your figure out ability. And whatever it is you truly want, do yourself a favor and actually go for it. Go all in. So at least if it doesn't work out, you can't say it's because you did not try. So I'm going to run through those quotes again, and then we're going to talk about how to let go of who you will never be again. And I want to sit on a couple of these pieces. So first quote in what Viola Davis shared, "The price you pay for being easygoing is not getting what you want. Try and be a little unreasonable in 2024. Fight for the life you want." A lot of people don't like the whole idea of fighting for the life you want. Here's what I'm going to say. You know that cliche that says nice guys finish last? I really want people to understand that if you're being nice to keep the peace, that's a problem. If you're being kind because kind is who you are and you still are able to hold your boundaries and you're still able to speak your truth and you're still able to say, no, you will not, and still be kind, that's different. But for some reason, in some people, we have put a high price on being easy, easygoing, easy to please. Let's cut that shit out in 2024. If somebody's going to be in your space, if somebody's going to be in your life, if somebody's going to benefit from your work, they shouldn't feel like they're getting that because you're easygoing to give it. They should have to earn it the way you have to work for it. So the price you pay for being easygoing is not getting what you want. Try and be a little unreasonable. There's nothing wrong. Here's my point. There is nothing wrong with being unreasonable about what your standards are and what you will and will not accept. Nothing. And, you know, sometimes I have conversation with folks and it comes out pretty bitchy and I'm totally okay with that. Totally okay with that. And if they interpret it that way, I'm totally good with that too. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to say what needs to be said and I'm going to say it again one more time, one more good time for the people in the back. But I am not going to play easy so you feel better about what I just said. So let's be a little unreasonable in 2024, shall we? Okay, second point. A silent form of self-sabotage, intensely focusing on other people, quit that in 2024. Here's the thing. And this is something that I am still unlearning, but I have to tell you, it's something that as my energy kind of goes up and down and all over the place on any given Sunday, it's just a lesson. It's a constant lesson. You cannot be everything to everyone, and you need to be all that you need to you first before you give anything to anybody else. It's the whole oxygen mask thing. I'm not even going to say that because it's so cliche, but it's so true. If you do not have time for you in your own life right now, meaning you feel like you can barely pee, you don't have time to meal prep, you don't have time to work out consistently, you don't have time to meditate for 10 minutes a day. Like if you feel like your life is so booked and so full that you don't have an hour a day to do a few little things for you, then you need to take a very good hard look at how much you are intensely focusing on other people. And you know what you need to do? You need to stop that. They can take care of themselves. It is your job to take care of yourself. Do that job. Let other people take care of themselves. Okay. The level of confidence dictates the level of achievement. You know, so I'm going to switch that one a little bit because confidence can be manufactured. Confidence can also become the cudgel by which people say they can't achieve the things they want to achieve. I am more aligned with the idea that the level of self-belief dictates the level of achievement. When you believe you can do a thing, you will take all of the actions for however long it takes to do a thing because you actually believe you can do the thing. Now, if you believe that self-belief is confidence, great. But I do think self-confidence is different than self-belief. Because again, confidence can be manufactured, and oftentimes confidence can be externally generated, whereas self-belief is internally given. So in my mind, the level of self-belief dictates the level of achievement. There will always be someone richer, better looking, funnier than you. Fun fact, you're that person for someone else. Run by your internal scorecard. I'm going to keep this really simple. What's your internal scorecard? How do you get to the end of a day and you go, damn, I did that thing? Like that is my internal scorecard. I want to be able to look back on a day and based on the energy I had that day, the priorities I set for that day, the things I really set out to do that day, I want to get to the end of the day looking back on all of those things and what actually happened and being able to say, damn, I did that thing. I did that thing. That's my internal scorecard. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And it's also like, did I keep the commitments I make to myself? Now, part of your internal scorecard with the whole self-commitment thing is stop overcommitting to too many stuff that cannot fit into 24 hours. That has been a lifelong lesson for me. So really bringing down my commitments to a very few number of things, but also being really open to saying, maybe last night I thought that was going to be the focus for today, but I woke up today and I really assessed my energy and my day and I shifted my priorities and then I ran with the day and then got to the end of the day and was like, ah, you did that thing. You did that thing. And sometimes you're in a season where the metric of your internal scorecard because of what you're going through in a particular season of life is I woke up, I made the bed, I got my kids to school without crying, I went to work, I worked in my business, I got home, I got my kids fed, I helped them with homework, I put them to bed, I put myself to bed, and nobody died today. Like sometimes there are seasons of life, not just days, seasons, where that is the internal scorecard, and you want to know what? That's okay. That is perfectly fine. But make sure that your life is running by your internal scorecard and not by somebody else's. All right, next point. Mediocre people who work loudly outperform great people who work quietly. Is it fair? No. Is it reality? Yes. Make 2024 the year you get louder. This is a big one. This is a big one. Let me just repeat it again because I'm going to sit here for a minute. Look, we are not even in the episode. This wasn't even the episode I planned, but this has to be talked about. Mediocre people who work loudly outperform great people who work quietly. Is it fair? No. Is it reality? Yes. Make 2024 the year you get louder. I am especially speaking to entrepreneurs out there. Stop thinking that being louder means you're being too salesy. You are in business to sell and make money. You are not here to have a hobby. So understand that if you don't step up your game and step out and claim your space and speak to your expertise and stand your ground on how powerful of an expert you are, somebody less equipped, somebody with less experience, and somebody who is not as good at you is good as you will certainly do it for you, and they will benefit. So again, mediocre people who work loudly outperform great people who work quietly. Is it fair? No. Is it reality? Yes. Make 2024 the year you get louder. Get louder, people. Do not act like you aren't the badass you are. Do not walk into rooms and act like you don't know the answers to the questions, or you want to ask a question, or you want to. Do not defer. In 2024, decide that whether you piss people off or not, whether people unfollow you or not, whether people think you are becoming too big for your britches or not, make 2024 the year you get louder. Unapologetically, by the way. All right. Everyone who started something had no clue how to do it at the beginning, but they figured it out by making mistakes. Make your number one trait your figure out ability. So Marie Forleo has a quote and a book that says, everything is figure outable. I want you to put that, you can go to Hobby Lobby and get a sign that says everything is figure outable. I'm pretty sure I have one. Go get a sign at Hobby Lobby that says everything is figure outable. Put one in every room if you have to. And really develop the core belief that everything is figure outable. If you want to invest in the stock market and you have no idea how to do that, you can figure that out. If you want to buy a house and you have no idea how you're going to do that, you can figure that out. If you want to, I see lots of people doing this quote unquote homesteading thing. You want to go live, in Timbuktu and do a homestead and you're a city slicker. You can figure that out. You might not like it when you get there, but you can figure it out. Decide that everything is figure outable and cultivate that belief by reminding yourself that when anyone starts a journey, they don't know what the hell they're doing either. Everything is figure outable. Make your number one trait your figure outability. Okay, next one. Whatever it is you truly want, do yourself a favor and actually go for it. Go all in. So at least if it doesn't work out, you can't say it's because you did not try. I'm going to talk about this one and then we're going to actually get to the episode. There are a lot of people in the world who act like they are going for a goal when all they're doing is giving lukewarm effort to it. They're dipping their toe in the water. They're giving 60%, 70%, in some cases 80% to the goal, but they're not really all in. They haven't poured themselves all into going after the thing that they want. Here's the thing. Dipping your toe in the water and contributing lukewarm effort to your goal is not actually going for it. It's pretending that you're going for it, but not actually doing it. So that when you fail on the internal, you can say to yourself, well, I didn't go all in. That's why I didn't get it. On the external, you can look like you put in some effort. So other people can pat you on the back and go, oh, you tried. But it's a lie. And you know it's a lie. So as you move into a brand new year, I'm going to invite you to stop bullshitting about whether or not you're going all in on your goals. Only go for goals for which you are putting your whole self onto the actions of that goal. if you are not putting your whole self into it, then guess what? You're not actually going for it. So let's just get real on that one. Okay. So that was a good preface to what we're going to talk about today, because it's really important to, you know, for you to do a lot of the things that we just talked about, getting louder, really believing and trusting that everything is figure outable, going all in on your goals. In order to do a lot of the things that we just talked about, you have to let go of the past versions of yourself that, whether you like it or not, you will never be again. There are past versions of me that I will never be again. There are past versions of me that, looking back, I think had no clue what was going to come next. And there is nostalgia on my part for that younger version that had no idea that life would turn this way. But the reality is, I will never be that version again. I will never be that version, period. So in order for you to create a you you've never been, in order for you to create a you that is far greater than the sum of all the past yous you've ever been, you've got to let go of all the past versions that you will never be again. So let's spend the rest of this episode talking about, how do you let go of who you will never be again? And it really boils down to radical acceptance. You know, there's a book called, I believe there's a book called Radical Acceptance. And I want to give you 7 things that, if you want to let go of who you will never be again, I'm going to give you 7 things that you've got to radically accept. So number one, to let go of who you will never be again, you've got to radically accept that a new you is born every moment. I think Marianne Williamson does a really great job of talking about this in a number of her books. But one thing that she says is that we are new in every moment. You are not the same this moment as you were 5 minutes ago, 5 hours ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We are always becoming. And so that means in every moment we are new. So in order for you to let go of past versions, you have to understand that in every moment is a different you. Every moment, every breath, it is a different you. So one, radically accept that a new you is born in every moment. Number two, radically accept that the best version of you from 10 or 20 or 30 years ago pales in comparison to the best version of you that exists in the form of your future self. And you haven't met that version of you yet. Like, that future self version is in you, but you haven't yet fully stepped into that version. But looking at a past version that you have stepped into and idealizing that version and thinking that that version is on the same level as the version that's coming next is not accurate. The best version of you is still to come. It does not exist in a past version of you. So you need to radically accept that. To let go of who you will never be again, you also have to radically accept that some experiences change you forever. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. Going back to those seasons where things are la vida loca, I think when you're younger, you don't think that those seasons have to come. And when they do, you feel super blindsided. When you have hard seasons in life and you're younger, like you're 22, 25, 30, you're really like, how the hell? You're like, what happened? Why? You know, you spend a lot of time in the feeling blindsided by life, in feeling shocked by things. And then the experiences, the life storms change you forever. And then you're really angry that you got changed forever without your permission. And the anger is valid. It is valid. But you also have to radically accept that some experiences will change you forever without your permission. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You can reframe whatever changed you forever, and you can find, as Viktor Frankl has said, some meaning in everything. Fourth thing that you need to radically accept to let go of who you will never be again is this. You've got to radically accept that being changed by something and being reduced by it are two very different things. And you get to choose which one applies to your life. This is a powerful quote by Maya Angelou, and it says, "I can be changed by what happens to me. I refuse to be reduced by it." Let me say that again. Maya Angelou quote here. "I can be changed by what happens to me. I refuse to be reduced by it." And it is so hard. It is so hard when you go through certain things to not be reduced by those things, at least initially, right? Like, you find out that your partner of 20 years has cheated on you the whole 20 years. You find out that, you know, you lose a child to stillbirth, or you have a child die in a car accident. You work for a company for 30 years and you're one of the first people to be laid off by that company. You're married to somebody for 20 years and you think everything is at least decent. And one day you wake up and they're serving you with divorce papers in your own house. I mean, I could give you a list of things where people super get blindsided by life. And in order to let go of who you were in that moment when you were blindsided by life and any of the previous versions of you, you've got to radically accept that being changed by something and being reduced by it are two very different things. There will be many big experiences that you did not ask for, that you did not want, that cost you a lot, cost you more than you will ever be able to describe. And you still have a decision to make about that. You can decide to be changed by it and not reduced by it, or you can decide to be changed by it and to be reduced by it. And again, going back to what Maya Angelou said, I can be changed by what happens to me. I refuse to be reduced by it. Letting go of past selves means you reframe the meaning of those experiences and you say to yourself, I will not be reduced by what happened to me, ever. The fifth thing you've got to radically accept to let go of who you will never be again is this. You've got to radically accept that it's up to you to flip the script on the story of you anytime you want to. So sometimes, because we tend to repeat the same patterns in a lifetime, sometimes we get all caught up in the story that goes, I made this mistake so many times. I keep doing the same thing. I keep really screwing up. This is just who I am. This is just where I am. This is just me. It's never going to be different. This really sucks. I'm just doomed to be this way forever. Here's the thing. You are the writer of the story of your life. Flip the damn script anytime it's not working for you. If the story is not working, rewrite it. So, you know, for the last 20 years, I've been a person who's always doing that. Today that ends. You know, for the last 15 years, I've been a person who's always acted this way. That ends. You know, for the last 5 years, I've been a person who did not pay attention to this or that. And that ends today. And then write a brand new script and then live in that way according to that new script. It is up to you to flip the script on the story of you. And you can do that any time you want to. Radically accept that. The sixth thing we've got to radically accept, if we're going to let go of who we will never be again, is this. Radically accept that it may take years to get from an old version to a new version of you. For those of us who are super impatient and who want everything like yesterday, this is a really hard one to get real with, because it's like, oh, you mean, like, I have to. You're like, do you mean that this can't happen in 6 months? We can't boot camp this thing. Like, do we really have to spend 5 to 10 years getting there? Seriously? Yes, seriously. I found a new family that I subscribe to their YouTube channel. I believe it's Good Simple Living, but don't quote me on it. And this is a former teacher and a police officer who decided pretty young that they were going to create their own homestead in northern Idaho, and they were going to have 20 acres on beautiful property. They were going to build their cabin. They were going to raise their children there. They were going to do it cash, so debt-free. And they did. And one of their videos was how it took them 6 years to pinch their pennies, save their money, and get to that place where they could do that. 6 years. And what's interesting about that is that, you know, no matter what age you are, whether you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 6 years still feels like a lot of time to have to like hustle and do things and be consistent and not have the gratification of the thing you want. Let me be very clear. I am 45 at this moment in time, about to be 46 in a few weeks. I don't know of anything in my life that I really wanted that took me less than 5 years. I mean, I would love to be able to tell you, as much as I like sprinting through life, I would love to be able to tell you that I did it in 2 or I did it in 3. I don't have record of anything in my life that like major milestones that took less than 5. And so if you want to let go of who you will never be again, part of that comes in understanding that even your future self, the level you want to go to next, is probably going to take you years. So radically accepting that it may take years to get from an old version of you to a new version of you is key to letting go of versions of you that you will never be again. The final thing, the 7th thing, how to let go of who you will never be again is this. You've got to radically accept that you are worth whatever investment is required to become the version of you you want to be. Time, energy, focus, money. Give yourself the gift of showing yourself that you are worthy of your own love. This is kind of what I was talking about not focusing on other people. It is, if you're going to let go of versions of you that you will never be again, then part of not going back to an old version that you really can't go back to because you're a different person, part of really focusing and going all in and becoming a new version of you that you've never been, lives in the space of radically accepting that you've got to make you a top priority, which also means you've got to invest in you, which also means that whatever the cost is to invest in you, the time, the energy, the focus, the money, all of that stuff, you've got to show up for you first, period. And whatever has to go to the wayside for you to do that, guess what? That is the price of entry to the next level of your life. And that's a hard one for people pleasers. That's a tough one for people who love to play the victim, the martyr, the savior, people who love to focus their entire lives on other people so then they can use the excuse that they've given so much to everybody else, they had nothing left for themselves. Well, who chose that? You did. You did. Like, one of the things that peeves me is people who use their children as an excuse for their lack of achievement. Number one, hopefully, I won't say in all cases, hopefully, your children were your choice. I'm just going to start there. Maybe generations ago, that was not the case, like 1940s, 1930s, 1920s. But I'm hopeful that if you're listening to me today and you have younger children, I'm hopeful that your children were your choice. To have them, to be a parent to them, to raise them, hopefully your children were your choice. Not always the case, but I'm hoping that that was a choice you got to make. If that was a choice you got to make, then saying the reason you can't do A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, you can't work out consistently, you can't build a business, saying that your children are the reason you can't is a cop-out. I was going to say something worse. It's a cop-out. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're going to have it all right, but I'm saying your children should be your motivation to get your goals achieved so you can model to them what that looks like so they don't live their adult life sacrificing their dreams and their goals for other people because you set up the pattern that way. And if you are doing the whole, well, I got to focus on this, I understand. I have children. I understand. There are seasons of life where it is super hard for them. and they need a lot more of you. And in those seasons, that's what you do. But I will ask you to question that line of thinking if their entire lives, that's been your story. If from 0 to 29, and you have a 30-year-old and you are still telling that story, I would ask you to really take a deep look at how that story serves as your excuse. And at least own the fact that it wasn't because you had children that you couldn't do the things you wanted to do, that you used your children as the reason and the cop-out for not doing what you were afraid to do. Harsh, yes. True, also yes. So again, how to let go of who you will never be again? It boils down to radical acceptance. Accepting that a new you is born in every moment. Accepting that the best version of you from 10 or 20 or 30 years ago pales in comparison to the best version of you that exists in the form of your future self. Radically accepting that some experiences change you forever, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. Radically accepting that being changed by something and being reduced by it are two very different things, and you get to choose which one applies to your life experience. Radically accepting that it is up to you to flip the script on the story of you anytime you want to. Radically accepting that it may take years to get from an old version to a new version of you. And radically accepting that you are worth whatever investment is required to become the version of you you want to be. Time, energy, focus, money. Give yourself the gift of showing yourself that you are worthy of your own life. That, my friends, is how you let go of who you will never be again, because there are certain versions of you that were meant to be past versions that you will never be again, and you have to let them go so you have the space and the room and the creativity to become who you really want to be. That is a life lesson. That is a spiritual classroom, and it is up to you to learn it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Please share this episode with someone you know who could benefit from hearing it. And as always, thank you for listening to another episode of She Runs the Show.